Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
Yes, sir. Monday morning. Went to get a cup of coffee this morning. Ran into somebody from Breakfast Television. Hey, how you doing? I'm ready for the weekend. Well, you hang in there, mister. You're almost there.
Stay away from ledges, my friend.
I'm ready for the weekend.
Although, if today was Friday, would you be able to live with that?
Yeah, I'd be fine. But it feels like Friday. If you are a sports fan, if you're doing what we do, because there's so much to talk about. There's all kinds of things that that we can get into and that we will today. Just a fantastic thank you.
There you are, sir.
A fantastic start to the week. You said, and I'll throw it out there. I know what sometimes what we say in here shouldn't go on the air, but
this is fine. Yeah.
I'll throw it out there. You said too much sports yesterday.
There's too much. You had NFL week three, morning, afternoon, night, 14 games. You had two CFL games, including the two teams that probably our listeners care about the most, Riders, Stamps.
Yeah.
And then the Flames have to play twice. Not just once, but twice.
Two games.
One in Edmonton, one in Calgary.
Yeah. At the same time.
And then you had the Hitmen home opener on Saturday. It's just too much. I'm done with it. Baseball. We didn't even get into baseball. Baseball doesn't even register
and
yesterday.
And why should you?
It just doesn't. Doesn't hit the register.
Yeah, it really shouldn't at this point. Let's get to the wild card games and then the AL and NLDS, and then we can start talking baseball again. But for the time being, it's a lot about hockey. Flames play a pair yesterday against the Oilers, a win one, lose one kind of a situation. What's interesting, and I found out last night, as great as the internet is and the internet age that we live in, still very difficult to properly watch a game that's streaming online on your laptop.
Okay.
And kind of get an appreciation. You can see what's happening and you can watch. But as far as individual performances and to really watch lines and how things are going, it becomes a little bit trickier. And it becomes even more so when you have two games being streamed at the same time.
Too much.
The Oilers actually had on their website, they had both of the games going in a double box.
Double box.
A little double box. We'll go to the quad box.
Let's quad up for this.
And so we'll have some thoughts on what took place last night. Some of it good, some of it not so good. But again, it's the first kick out at a split squad game. Wednesday, back at it again. They will be in Sylvan Lake to take on the Arizona Coyotes.
We'll be in Sylvan Lake.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I know.
The weather going to hold for us?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I don't know that the weather really matters. We'll be inside somewhere.
Yeah, but we'll be there for a while.
We'll be inside at the, the Hockey Central Sports Bar.
Sure.
Is that what it is?
That's what it sounds familiar.
I think that's what it is.
I can't say I've been there.
They can't let us into the rink, apparently. The league doesn't want us in the rink. What the H?
Bettman doesn't like us.
What the hell, Bettman?
Too many tough questions.
Yeah, can't have those guys. Yeah, because we'll spoil it. We'll ruin things for everybody. So that's coming up on Wednesday. We'll talk about both games, as mentioned. And the Calgary Stampeders lay an egg.
Yeah.
No. Now, should they be given some slack? Perhaps. They are without, to this point, their best receiver of the season in Markway McDaniel. There was no John Cornish, and they were without their starter, Bo Levi Mitchell. And what do you want? Probably one of the top two, three quarterbacks as far as performances are concerned to this point in the in the CFL season, the best running back and one of the best receivers. You take that out of any lineup, and they're going to have a hard time.
Not to mention one of the best pass rushers too.
But I mean, man, they just had no zip, and Drew Tate took most of it, if not all of it, on himself, and that's admirable and fair, and probably in some ways deserved. But the team as a whole did not look anything like a team that was coming in with one loss. They looked just didn't look good. Didn't look good at all.
Well, and you know what? They're missing so many guys. And they're 10-1 heading into this thing. We talk about the travel going all the way out there. Maybe they went out and had a beverage.
I just, I don't know if you keep.
But you have to be able to say, okay, give them a pass, move along next week.
They haven't needed to have been given a pass, and you do it and you move on to next week. But all of a sudden, the story of this week will now become, how's Bo Levi? How's John Cornish?
Yeah, because how's John Cornish for sure?
Cornish is pulled from this lineup relatively close to game action. When did it come out? On the weekend?
Well, just maintenance. Needs some maintenance. Nothing serious. Just maintenance. That's a little curious, is it not?
Yeah, a little bit. But that's how
maintenance after missing how many games to concussion earlier this year?
They're not going to come out and say he's concussed. They're not going to come out and say he's got headaches.
But you'd be shocked if he wasn't either of those, right?
Yeah, I'd be stunned if it's not one of those two things. 6'11", like you have said, we have a lot to get through. Play-by-play voice of the Flames will join us at 8 o'clock. Derek Wills, Elliot Friedman coming in, our CFL insider and our NFL insider, all on the program today. NFL Sunday, some lopsided matchups, a little bit of separation in some cases. We'll get into all of that. And lots of Flames talk, as promised. Two games to get caught up on from last night. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
17 minutes after 6 o'clock, Boomer in the Morning along with Ryan Pinder.
Happy Monday.
Oh, yeah. When are we in Sylvan Lake?
Wednesday morning, Tuesday night.
Just going to make a change there.
Oh, good. Yeah. Hope you booked the hotels for the right night. That would be helpful.
Oh, yeah.
The night we need to be there. If we're there, that'd be good.
Look out, Red Deer. Lock up your daughters. We're coming.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Right there.
Pinder's bringing his hernia surgery and...
Check out the scar.
God. Jeez. Yeah.
That's not going to work well, is it?
Nah.
Well, maybe I will chase you down. Maybe I'll chase you down, yeah, Red Deer.
Look out, Billy Bob's. Actually, I'm not sure where you would... I'm not. You know what? I'm so out of touch with the club scene in Red Deer.
I have a feeling there's not going to be a nice match.
Not that I ever was, really. I'm sure there's some little place for you. But although on a Tuesday, well, who knows? Maybe that's like college night.
Red Karaoke
Deer,
night.
Red Deer College. It might be a big night out at the clubs.
Tuesday, sneaky good night in some places.
There you go. But we'll be on location Wednesday morning from the Hockey Central Lounge in Sylvan doing the show. Then the big show with Pat and Rob will come from the arena itself. Flames Coyotes. That'll be your next matchup on Wednesday.
And this will not be a split squad either. We'll get a better look at perhaps better combinations. Looked like pretty much two lines for each of these teams last night. Of NHL caliber and a pairing and a half of defensemen, NHL caliber.
A pairing and a half?
Yeah, sort of three guys a team. You had Giordano Brody in England in Calgary, yeah. Russell Weidman and Schmid in Edmonton. I don't know where you sort of file Rafael Diaz amongst that mix. But
well, again,
not necessarily a full-time NHLer last year.
Skimming around as much as I could last night watching, noticed them. And I mean, that's the one thing you want to do is be noticed. And I know both... I believe it's Cruikshank and Sportak in the papers today, both in their, the Herald and Sun, respectively, felt that Diaz was impressive last night. I believe even, let me check here, did Sporty give him the first star honors in Edmonton?
Come on. In a 3-1 loss? Sporty, you homer.
There's the 1-0. That's from Wes Gilbertson.
Yeah, Wes.
Rafael Diaz, your first star.
Really?
The blue liner in camp on a tryout was probably the most consistently noticeable in a positive way. Did a great job getting shots on net and blocking shots.
Tell ya.
Rafael Diaz.
You and Chris Russell. How many guys of that size and ilk can you have?
Do what you got to do in camp. It's all that you ask, and he got himself noticed.
Win him a job.
It's all you can ask for. What about the rest of them? We'll get into that. Details as the morning continues. News over the weekend, the Colorado Avalanche, I guess quietly, have installed Joe Sakic as their new general manager. Now, that was...
wasn't he GM before? Because he was... They brought him in, and he was the boss man.
Well, he had some other title that was more shiny and fancy, I think. He, where is it here?
Executive director, player
he
personnel.
He was the player personnel. Waugh was the coach, VP hockey operations, something to that degree. But apparently, very just no pomp and circumstance. You go to the...
we'll be practicing tomorrow, by the way, Joe Sakic, new GM, and we'll be practicing Tuesday as well.
You go to the Colorado Avalanche website, and there it is. Joe Sakic, Executive Vice President, General Manager, Alternate Governor. And now, because Greg Sherman was the General Manager, he's now the AGM and Alternate Governor.
Is he still around there?
We'll do some...
digging.
We'll do some sniffing around that to see what's going on down there. Waugh, the head coach and VP of hockey operations. They, of course, signed Jerome Iginla this offseason. You may have missed that. We'll start doing some... we'll really get into it, me and you. Because when Mariner's here, you can't really...
do much.
Can't get into, you know, the heart and soul of things. Because he just starts kind of, you know...
nodding off,
burping and sleeping, and it just really takes away from things. But we'll get into the hardcore inside, just deep investigative research into some of these NHL teams that have made big changes over the summer.
Are we going to dig on Arizona next?
Like, did you
see them Wednesday?
Do you remember that Roman Polak is now a member of
the
Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah,
I mean, it's stunning.
Swaparoo for Carl Gunnarsson.
Yeah, still can't believe it. So we'll do some Carl Gunnarsson, Roman Polak trade analysis.
Your boy, Dion Phaneuf, this year. Because, you know, Red Deer, Calgary.
I'm not sure he's...
calls you on weekends.
No,
it's... Dion going,
you know,
back. So maybe Polak will be with your boy this year.
That's right. He and my boy, Dion, might be a stout pairing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Apparently, this coming in on the fan feedback line this morning, 960-960 on your mobile phone. Club scene in the deer. Got to be ecstatic. Club ecstatic.
Club ecstatic.
Yeah.
And someone else referencing Bellini's.
Yeah, Bellini's is
Tuesday night Bellini's, yeah. Or the place is called Bellini's?
The place is called Bellini's.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe there was a drink special.
Well, there is a yeah, ecstatic. Pinder showing off his surgery scar Tuesday at Bellini's.
Hey, ladies. Check this out.
Is that pus? Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 mornings with Boomer in the Morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
Sportsnet 960 mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
You know who he is? Rick Sadler, the... I don't even know if any... like, this means nothing to anybody listening. This is for audience of three. And we're all here. It's just we have a lot of the same guy doing our voicing right now.
You've got to give it up for the Jays, Calgary.
You've got to give it up for the Jays. That's, his name is Rick Sadler. He is, in fairness, a radio legend.
Oh boy, Ricky.
However, he's doing a lot of our voice work right now, and it's a lot.
I feel like he's locked in a cage, and Kirsch just keeps feeding him lines.
Can you give us a little sampling there, Jay, just so we can, so the listeners at home... so that you playing along at home will know who it is that we're talking about.
The Flames Insider, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler.
Yeah.
Varsity's holy truck sale.
Holy truck.
So that's Rick Sadler, who all of a sudden, you know who he is.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan, that's all he is.
But who he is, for us, he's our Trivago guy.
He's totally Trivago
He's guy. Totally our Trivago guy now.
He's just everywhere.
Because he's everywhere. Everywhere you turn, every commercial break, he's there. And when I hear him... I see Trivago guy. The pants, no belt, the shirt, it's all crinkled up.
Mixing a razor.
Open one button too many. Got a little bit of growth going on the cheeks. Rick Sadler, Sportsnet 960, Trivago guy. At least that's
what I... You ever looked for a hotel online?
There he is.
It's echoey.
You gotta give it up for the Jays.
Did you notice that there's so many prices out there for the exact same room?
Do you know how many guys are going to be Trivago guy for Halloween? Like everybody, like
I am.
All guys are going to be Trivago guy because it's easy. Put on a tuck your shirt in,
gray collared shirt,
yeah.
One button too low. Don't shave for 4 days. No belt.
Take the shirt, throw it in the back seat of your car for a while. Throw some stuff on it. Take it out, put it on, tuck it in. No belt, and then don't shave.
Black jeans, tight,
and hammer about a pack of Des Maurier.
Yeah,
and then head out to the clubs.
Get that weird casual walk going, and if you got dark hair, just throw in a little flower. Give yourself a little bit of that gray look. Just a touch.
Yeah.
That's how you can be sure that you find the ideal hotel for the best price.
Thanks, Rick.
With Trivago.com.
Yeah,
I don't know that that's Rick.
Hotel?
Yes.
Trivago.
Oh, we get
God.
It.
Jeez.
No way.
Last night in Calgary and Edmonton, both cities played host to a Battle of Alberta. The Flames and Oilers renewing acquaintances on the two locations. Still enough players in camp, obviously, to field two teams. So that tells you where we're at. You could take probably half away, and you know what you're looking at. In Calgary, the better of the two lineups, I would say, as the line of Monahan, Hudler, and Raymond could resemble a top line or a number two line for the Flames during a regular season, depending on...
Certainly looks like a top six line for the Flames this year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hudler on the right, Raymond on the left, by the way.
On this night, Joe Colburn slid back to center along with Devin Setoguchi and John Gaudreau on the left side. Bolig, Reinhart, and Juris, and then Corbin Knight centering Garnet Hathaway and Morgan Klimchuk. Blue line, Giordano and Brody.
Top pairing.
Yep. Culkin and Sheldon Brookbank. And then Brett Kulak with Derek Englund, who last night was wearing an assistance letter.
Englund?
Yeah. Is that what they call it? Or is it an associate captain?
An alternate captain.
Alternate captain.
Sure. But I get it. I don't think anyone's lost if you say assistant captain.
But he had the A on his jersey. And Hiller went for the bulk of it. Brad Thiessen came in.
For the turd. Thiessen for the turd.
Shared shutout last night for those guys. This will shock no one, and anybody that was at the Dome last night, and like I say, not earth-shattering news. TJ Brody, real good. Scored the goal, blistering shot from the top of the circle, and for, I guess, about a calendar year now, we've heard from Bob Hartley saying, you know, if TJ would just shoot the puck a little bit more, TJ doesn't know how good he is just yet or what he's able to accomplish. He's starting to grasp how strong he can be.
TJ. Yes. Could be very good.
DJ?
TJ.
Oh, I see. You're making fun of his voice.
No.
You're making fun of his accent.
I'm just trying to imagine Bob saying that. What it would sound like. Because I have heard some Bob this morning. We haven't heard from Bob in a while.
We've heard
Bob free for
we've
heard months.
From Bob this morning. But Brody looked terrific last night. Giordano is, I mean, he's just ready to go. He's the most fit guy in fitness testing, which wouldn't shock anybody. When we saw him at the golf tournament.
It's the Rhett Warner Award, I believe.
Yeah. But Brody is, he's going to have a terrific season.
Yeah, and he's due for payday at the end of the year as well, is he not?
This has a, I don't even know if breakout season, probably league-wide it could be viewed as a breakout season. Here it would probably just be viewed as the natural progression of a young kid who's been getting better and better and better. But I think this might be the year that the league starts to really look at TJ Brody and say, you know, this is a good, really good young defenseman.
And it felt like that was last year here in town.
Yeah.
Right? Because no, I don't know where he started on the depth chart, but at the end of the year, whenever Giordano was healthy and he was with him, I mean, that was top pairing locked down. No one else was with Gio. Those are the guys.
Yeah.
You want to hear Hartley from last night?
Yeah.
Sure. Jay, you got me on here? We got Bob Hartley on the Calgary game, the 1-0 win.
I love our start. I felt that we could have scored like right 3-4 goals in the first period, and then we kept working, but it seems that you know the Oilers were playing tighter in their zone and there was less chances, but you know like I don't think that we gave very much, and you know like I like what we did in game 1.
Liked what they did game 1. So did Bob's going to watch the tape on Edmonton later, I'm guessing, or what? I don't care about those guys.
No, I'm sure he'll probably get... Jacques Cloutier was running the bench in Edmonton, and I'm sure we'll give him a full what have you. So that was obviously... And, you know, Sean Monahan is the other one that stood out from last night. He was terrific. I think he was the first star of the night. And this could be another guy. We had him here in studio. He doesn't say much. Very quiet. Very matter of fact. But when he gets onto the ice... he's just big, strong. I'm going to go around you or through you. And he's still, you know, he's learning. He just looked terrific last night, as he should in a game like this. But this could be another one of those guys that's like, wow, okay, there's no sophomore slump. He's just one of those guys that would not be prone to a sophomore slump because he's that disciplined.
Yeah, everything about this guy's life is hockey player. If the action he's thinking about doesn't make him a better hockey player, he's not interested in it. No, I'm good. Just hockey. Hockey, yeah. Hockey. All those guys went to Mexico on the Olympic break. He went back home and worked out.
Yeah.
And apparently he's come back up a fair amount in weight and strength, which expect, but a considerable amount given that's his 1920 season here.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That he'll be over 200 now.
Noticeably bigger when he was in here. Just looking at it, it's like he's a man now. I mean, he's kind of even just the cut of his jib, I would say. Even just the cut of his jib. So, of course, to come out and say the two regular everyday NHLers look good would not be earth-shattering.
Saw some people raving about Max Reinhardt. Sorry to interrupt there. I thought that was, you know, he's a guy we've talked about that's interesting. He took a step last year, one of the better guys they had in the American Hockey League. And does he have another step? Apparently looked good last night.
John Gaudreau, I don't know how he's not on this team. You put him in any scenario, any spot, he's going to be just fine. Watching him last night, he's already got that distinctive skating style, and you know when he's got the puck. And I know that Lubardius and Wills were talking about it last night. The building just starts to kind of come alive a little bit when he's got the puck, and you can see it, how explosive. You always hear, that first step is so. This guy's first two steps, the ability to stop, turn, get himself off the wall, amazing. And then to thread passes around, and put him on a power play, put him wherever you want. I just think there's no way he's not on this team.
And there a lot of people saying he looks good away from the puck. He's coming back checking well, defensively strong. I thought, you know, the one game in Vancouver last year, whatever that's worth, he stole pucks going the other way. This is not a one-dimensional player. And I remember when I was working in Abbotsford and the Flames management team was down there a lot, we'd always say, how's Johnny looking? Because we'd be following box scores and, oh, he was just in Boston. How'd he look? I'd say, well, you know, skating's good, but not great. And if he wants to be, you know, an unbelievable NHLer, he's going to have to be a great skater. It sounds like that's happened over the last year and a half.
He's looked fine to me. Looked fine to me.
And good to great, not poor at all. Yeah. He was always above average, but now he's moving into that, you know, elite skater kind of range, apparently.
Has not played a full NHL roster, has done it once. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's a split squad game against the Oilers. You can stand out. Penticton, you might stand out. But all he can do is come out and play in the games that he is meant to play in. And he has not looked out of place in any way, shape, or form, and has actually been one of the best players on the ice, I would say, in every game that he's played.
Yeah.
And that continued last night.
And go back. When was the last time this guy was in over his head? He had 1 year in the USHL. That was the year he was drafted. He was phenomenal. The only question was, oh, he's too small. I won't be able to do it at the next level. He dominated 3 years of college. Dominated the world championships. Won world junior gold. Looked very good in his only NHL game. Dominant in Penticton.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's a stud at every level he's been at the last 4 years.
The other game that took place in Edmonton, we'll touch on a little bit later on. We are heading towards 7 o'clock. Quick break, and when we come back, our NFL insider is Jason Lacanfora, a Super Bowl rematch in Seattle. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the morning, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
Busy Monday morning here on Boomer in the Morning, along with Pinder. 6:42 right now. Still to come, Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider. We'll hear from Derek Wills. He was up high last night in the Saddle Dome, the Flames and Oilers. A pair of split squad games. Flames victorious on home ice. They dropped the one to Edmonton up at Rexall. CFL insider Rash Badani coming up. But right now, time to talk the National Football League. And it is Monday Night Football coming up at Shanks North and Shanks South. It'll be the Chicago Bears taking on the New York Jets. $3.95 chicken wings, $4.95 Bud Light draft. Shank Sports Grill, your NFL headquarters in Calgary. Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider, joins us. Good morning, Jason. I know I'll start here because I know last year when we would talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, they were kind of one of your picks, if not to do well or if not to win at all, then to be one of the teams right there. It did not end up being the case. Maybe you were just off by a year because the Bengals are looking very strong.
Well, I've liked their roster for a couple of years now. I've liked the development of a lot of the young players. We just don't know what they can do when the lights get really bright in January. I mean, that's been their problem. They've been a nice football team. You know, September, October, November, into December. It's about getting over that hump now, just winning divisions. That's not going to placate people in Cincinnati anymore. It's about what do these guys do in the postseason. Marvin Lewis hasn't won a playoff game. He's one of the longest tenured coaches in the league. And Andy Dalton, for all the very exciting, you know, regular season yardage totals he's put up and whatnot, he hasn't been good in the postseason either. So it's really, you know, wait and see on them. It's really no sense judging them now. I think they've been the most complete football team in the NFL in a year in which not too many teams have played 12 decent quarters of football. Not too many teams have been anything close to impressive for more games than not, and we're only three games into it. They have, but that's only going to buy them so much goodwill because if they're one and done in the playoffs again, I think even if they're 14-2, heads will roll there. If there'll be some changes made, I suspect, if they can't duplicate their regular season success in the postseason.
And it looks like they're turning Andy Dalton into more of a game manager than a guy they're going to live and die by. He has not thrown for a ton of touchdowns nor picks. They're happy to run the ball all day.
Well, I mean, they drafted Jeremy Hill. They feel like they've got a very deep group of running backs. They're using Andy Dalton in a lot of spread formations and some zone read stuff. And he's had some, especially within the red zone, he's had more keepers, quarterback keepers, than I would have ever imagined. He caught a touchdown pass yesterday, in sort of a trick play kind of situation. So Hugh Jackson, the new offensive coordinator, has certainly reestablished the want and the need to beat people up physically in the run game, and then also to utilize Andy Dalton in some different ways. He's a little more of an athlete than I think any of us suspected, at least judging, in the first 3 weeks of the season and how he's been used. And we'll see. You know, they managed to keep A.J. Green healthy. It looked like he might miss a little bit of time. They get the early bye. I'd suspect we see Vontaze Burfict coming out of the bye in week 5. But, he's had two concussions already this season, so that could be a major concern for them. We'll have to see how healthy they can get. Marvin Jones should be back at some point. Tyler Eifert, they think, will be back at the back end of the season. So, that could be a team that really is even deeper and better in December, potentially, than they have been these 3 weeks. And they've looked pretty good these 3 weeks.
Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider for Shank's Sports Grill. Yesterday in Glendale, the Arizona Cardinals defeat San Francisco 23-14. The Cardinals 3-0. The Niners have now dropped a pair in two straight. Cardinals without their number one quarterback have won the last two games. What did we see? Was it the Niners just being off their game? Is how much credit do you give to Arizona in this one? What'd you see?
Well, I think you have to credit Arizona. I mean, they're 3-0. They've won back-to-back games with Drew Stanton as their quarterback, and they had to do one on the road. And I know the Giants are no great shakes, but they still had to go across the country with a backup quarterback. And they've had a lot of other injuries as well and win that game. And, the week one, San Diego, the last 2 weeks, I mean, they've been as good as any team in the league. And week one, Arizona knocked them off. So, I mean, Bruce Arians now, you go back to Indianapolis, and he takes over for Chuck Pagano in the middle of the season, very early in the season, when the head coach is diagnosed with cancer out of the blue. He goes 9-3. And last year, first year in Arizona, no one has expected anything. He goes 10-6. And now he's one of the only three 3-0 teams in the NFL. So he's doing something right. I mean, I'm not very good at math, but that's 22-9. You win 22 of your first 30 football games as a head coach in this league, especially under duress. And again, this year, without a starting quarterback for two of the three games, you're obviously onto something there. They play their guts out. They obviously love their head coach. They have a fighting spirit there. And they play smart. I mean, we saw the 49ers self-destruct in a lot of different ways yesterday. Special teams miscues. Anquan Boldin with a ridiculous headbutt to take them out of a position where they could have gone ahead in the game. A couple of other personal fouls that were uncalled for. And Carolina kept their cool. Drew Stanton made plays when he had to. No one runs the ball that well in the 49ers. That's still one thing they have going for themselves. But late in the game, Ellington did show up a little bit, and they did keep trying to move it on the ground and stay balanced. I give Arizona a lot of credit. And the 49ers, to me, this was a boom or bust year. This was the year that they either all got over the hump with Harbaugh and, you know, all that collegiate stuff paid dividends, or this was a year where things started to fray and maybe the message started to get a little old, and maybe that team has gotten a little older than they think, and maybe that roster isn't nearly as good as they think. And it's only three games, but right now there's certainly cause for concern with the 49ers. They're not the big, bad 49ers of before. They're not bullying people out of these games. They're not intimidating anyone. And that defense, again, they can stop the run, but they're not scaring anybody in the pass game. I mean, the lack of Navarro Bowman and Alden Smith in that defense is having a massive effect.
Just a thought on that Super Bowl rematch yesterday, Jason, from Seattle. What do you make of Seahawks-Broncos Part 2?
You know, I got to tip my cap to the Denver defense. I understand they gave up that drive in overtime, but, you know, Seattle's not losing a whole lot of games at home. But Denver was dead in that game until the defense woke them up. I mean, for three quarters, Peyton Manning was absolutely befuddled. He looked like a grandpa out there. I mean, he was just kind of looking around, seemed a little slower than everybody else. The ball's wobbling like a duck, floating in the air, sailing. Nothing really thrown on a BB. No, not taking any deep chances. Just kind of looked like he was getting handed to him. And it's 17-3, and the defense turned it around. That safety on Marshawn Lynch was huge. Special teams downing the ball a couple times and changing field position was huge. The interception was huge. That finally invigorated the offense. And then Peyton did, Peyton woke up in the fourth quarter and he did some Peyton Manning things to tie the game. But, I think you could see some of the fruits of Denver's offseason labors in that game. And it's no shame losing at Seattle because pretty much everybody does it. I don't know that offense is going to be what it was last year. I don't know if that's possible. Monte Ball to me is very much a question mark. And they really lacked that third down. But last year they threw a lot of balls to No'Shawn Moreno. They loved him coming out of the backfield. They love him as a pass protector. Monte Ball, still proving his worth as a pass protector. And he's not gifted with natural hands the way Moreno was. So, that to me could be an issue for them. But, look, they're a good team. They're going to win that division. They'll be there in the end. But the better defense and the more physical team still often wins in this league. And I think the pendulum has swung even more to defense. I mean, we're talking about Peyton Manning. He's nowhere near what he was a year ago. Tom Brady is flat out struggling and he can't get any pass protection. Drew Brees is struggling. Aaron Rodgers is struggling. I mean, this is the cream of the cream of the cream of the crop. Ben Roethlisberger, that team went eight quarters without scoring a touchdown. I mean, you're talking about some of the best quarterbacks in the league. None of them are off to a flying start. I think it's fair to say that there's been some defensive recalibration in this league.
Stay with New England there because they almost lost that game to Oakland. There was all kinds of opportunity for the Raiders.
Very easily could have lost. New England offensively right now is rudderless. It's almost a hope and a prayer. Everything is a struggle. They're always in third and long. I think Edelman was targeted 13 times. I mean, the whole offense runs through Edelman now, especially on third down and in the red zone. He's taking a huge beating. You know, Gronk's still only playing slightly more than 50% of the snaps. He's not 100%. There's times in games where they force feed him the ball and he looks like Gronk, but you don't see that over four quarters, not even close to it. They have no semblance of a deep threat whatsoever. No one's even worried about them making plays outside the hash marks. That Tompkins or Dobson, the idea that one of those young speedsters was going to develop, it's just not there. They have no one to stretch the defense. Danny Amendola is a spare part. and the offensive line is getting absolutely mauled. I mean, that Oakland team, if you watch them at home against Houston, that was as pathetic of a performance as you could imagine. They couldn't, they could, the offensive line could do nothing. Could do nothing. I mean, you would go in there thinking Oakland's got no shot going across the country. I mean, if New England could just kind of keep Brady a little bit upright, they'll get shredded. They couldn't keep Brady a little bit upright. He was constantly being hit, constantly being harassed. He was visibly frustrated. The run game was okay, but I mean, Oakland was giving up 200 yards a game on the ground, and New England didn't come close to that. New England's got some issues. They can't run what they want to run right now because of that offensive line. And there's only two or three guys who Brady still trusts. And I don't know. They're better defensively, and they're better on special teams. But, man, that's not at all what I thought that offense would look like. And I really I think I really misrepresented just what an issue their offensive line is.
Chatting with Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider for Shanks Sports Grill. Still with quarterbacks. It looks as though the Bridgewater Bortles era has begun in the NFL.
Yeah, it was only a matter of time for most of these kids, and I thought that six or seven rookie quarterbacks would start games this year when it's all said and done. And Bortles is going to stay as the starter. Bridgewater is going to stay as the starter. Obviously, Derek Carr has been starting since the beginning of the season. Manziel is on the field here and there. I don't think he'll be starting anytime soon, but he at least shows up on the field a little bit. If Jake Locker continues on this trend, I think we'll see Mettenberger starting there sometime next month. And then obviously injuries will lead to some of these kids playing in other places as well. Yeah, it was a tough spot for Bridgewater. I mean, New Orleans was dominating that game through the first quarter. Castle gets hurt, and Minnesota stayed in that game, and I credit their defense. That's another team, another quarterback, Drew Brees, where that offense is not anywhere near what people thought it would be. It's not prolific at all. They have to force the ball to Jimmy Graham to get big plays. Nobody else is really stepping up on a regular basis. The loss of Darren Sproles, to me, looks very significant through 3 weeks in terms of that element of the screen game and him taking a little 3-yard pass and turning it into a 50-yard gain. North Turner liked Bridgewater a lot. It was only a matter of time before he played. Injuries expedited this a little bit, although with what Castle had done the last couple of games, this was in the air for competitive reasons as well. And obviously it ended up happening because of an injury. But these kids, a lot of them will play. I think even a few nobody's talking about right now will end up playing the game for one reason or another. I mean, if Cincinnati goes on this kind of a tear and they clinch that division with four games to play, they may take a look at A.J. McCarron for a game and sit Andy Dalton. So, we'll see six or seven of these kids when it's all said or done.
Kirk Cousins finished with over 400 yards passing, and a Washington team that looked lost with RG3 at the helm suddenly has some life.
80 points in the last seven quarters, or close to it. Close to 80 points in the last seven quarters with Kirk Cousins there. He is a better fit in that offense. It moves quicker. It flows better. The speed of thought is much quicker. RG3 wasn't the same physically this year. And for whatever reason, you think another year removed from the surgery, it'd be better. It just wasn't there. He wasn't running away from people. He wasn't explosive. He wasn't the best athlete on the field. When you're not a natural pocket passer, and now you're no longer the most dynamic athletic specimen on the field, you're not running away from linebackers. You're getting dragged down by safeties. That's gonna be a problem. Cousins looks confident. Everybody's showing up. He's not like playing any favorites. It's not, let's just target Pierre Garçon 20 times today. I mean, everyone's getting the ball. There's a lot to like there, without a doubt. The team just seems to have really rallied around him. Yeah, they lost that game at Philadelphia, but man, it was a slugfest. And offensively, they gave as well as they got. If they get their tight end Jordan Reed back in a couple of weeks, there's potential for that thing to look even a little more robust offensively. So I don't think Kirk Cousins loses that job. I mean, maybe RG3 is healthy in 6 to 8 weeks, but no one's going to be rushing him. There won't be any firm timetable. And I don't suspect that from a coaching perspective. They're going to need to see a whole lot other than what they're getting out of Kirk Cousins right now.
I was impressed on the other side. Nick Foles, 325 yards, but he was running for his life. He was on the ground, but yet three touchdowns, no picks, never was sacked. He managed to distribute that hit, the one bomb that he took there. He came up and won the game for them.
Yeah, it was another game where they started slowly. Washington had the ball the entire first quarter. I mean, it was 14-7, but the Eagles scored on a return. So literally, it took Foles a while to get going because he was not on the field in the entire first quarter. Save for like two plays. So when they got going, they exploded. They were down to one starting offensive lineman in the fourth quarter. So he was getting hit a lot, not necessarily sacked, but he was absorbing a lot of punishment, as was Shady McCoy. He kept getting back up, and touchdown throws he made late in that game were pretty special. It's clear that, Foles is Chip Kelly's guy, and he's thriving in that environment. They can't keep losing offensive linemen like this. I mean, we'll have to see, the extent of Jason Kelsey's injury. It looked pretty serious. Their left tackle, Jason Peters, was ejected. I mean, he won't be suspended or anything, so he'll be back. The Eagles, first team in NFL history to fall behind by at least 10 points or more in each of their three games and still win. I don't know that you can keep that script going that way all year, and I worry about their defense. I think they've got some issues there, and they've been figured out there a little bit. But Foles is certainly not a problem for them, and he's gutsy as heck. The kid, showed a lot again yesterday, and they're going to score points. We know they're going to score points. I just don't know how well they're going to defend.
Jason, great stuff, man. Have a good week. We will talk to you on Thursday.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You bet. Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider, brought to you by Shanks Sports Grill. It's Monday Night Football tonight. Shanks North, Shanks South. The Chicago Bears taking on the New York Jets. $3.95 chicken wings, $4.95 Bud Light draft. Shanks Sports Grill, your NFL headquarters in Calgary. 7 o'clock in the 7 o'clock hour. Arash Badani, CFL insider. The Calgary Stampeders lose ugly yesterday in Montreal. And Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider, will all join us coming up in the next 60 minutes. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.